How we doing this morning, everybody? Come on, you're looking good this morning. Hey, my name's Aaron. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm excited to be able to jump into our series that we started last week called The Chosen. I'm going to be teaching on an episode 3. But before we get into that, man, God's just doing some great things around here at MCC. It's been great to see. We had baptism not too long ago. We're kind of going into this fall season. Obviously, there's events and different things that are taking place. But I think one of the unique miracles that we've experienced is all the people that are in our Church Anywhere groups. I don't know if you realize this, but out of our Sunday morning adult attendance, 70% of them are in Church Anywhere groups. That is fantastic right there, right? And so with that, it doesn't happen by accident. It happens with leadership. And so Pastor Dwayne and Tara and them for what they've been doing and kind of organizing all that kind of stuff. So looking forward to going to my group tonight at 5:30. So anyways, but yeah, so it's just exciting to see some of the things that God is doing here and we get to be a part of it. And so with that, God's also doing things in kids' world, down in the kids' area. And one of the things, I'm going to ask you to join in with me today if you know these songs. But anybody remember like those Christian kids' songs we would sing as we were growing up? Like if you know these songs, now don't judge me because my singing is terrible, okay? So don't judge me on that. But if you know the words, just join in with me. Father Abraham had many sons. Oh, there we go. Many sons that Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Woo, right? Yeah, then it's like our version of the hokey pokey, right? Right arm, anyways. And then we got Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. There you go. Climbed up in. There you go, right? And then this was one of my favorite. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I will ride in the cavalry. There you go. Some of y'all remember it. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Yes, Jesus loves me. Y'all know this one. Yes, Jesus loves me. If you're visiting today, I'm sorry. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. We're going to have to finish the song. Give it up for yourselves this morning. That was great. So if you're visiting and you don't know those songs, just hang with us, okay? 6 to 8 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks. But now this episode, Jesus is really engaging with children. We see in like out of the four gospels, 3 times we see Jesus have conversation about children. And so I just really want to encourage you to lean in. Again, we're going through this series with The Chosen. We're using videos from the series, but not all of the videos are actually in the Bible. So you're going to see kind of an artistic expression, which I think is great. Just allowing God, our creator, allowing us to create some unique experiences and visuals for people to get excited about who Jesus is and to want to learn more about the Bible and just kind of pique that interest. And so I think it's a great thing to kind of be able to see these extra biblical things that are taking place. And so with that, let's watch our first scene.
Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who gives forth bread from this earth. And I pray that if there are ever 2 children come visit my home here, that you will give them the courage to say shalom, so that they will know they do not have to remain in hiding.
He's a good man.
Stay. Amen.
We need to go. Stay. We are going to stay. Ah!
What's that sound I hear? Sheep don't sound like that. Oh, that's definitely not sheep. Maybe a rooster? Greetings, children. You know, it is not safe for a child to wander from their home. You never know if there are bad men around. You are wise to bring your friend this time.
Joshua.
Shalom, Joshua. I admire your bravery to come here. You are a good friend. Well, don't worry. I'm not a bad man.
See? I knew it.
You are free to stay for a bit, but I'm afraid I have some work to do.
Okay.
And thank you for not taking any food yesterday.
So, what are you doing here?
I'm visiting for a time.
Where are you from?
Nazareth.
What is that hood for?
I'm building something.
Are you a carpenter?
Sometimes, but I'm a craftsman. I build all kinds of things.
So, why don't you live in the house?
I travel a lot.
How do you make money?
Happy.
Just asking him how he makes money.
I know, you shouldn't.
It's okay. I don't make money when I travel. So for now, I build things and trade them for my food and clothing.
What is that?
Ah, this is going to be a lock and key.
Joshua, ask him questions. He's nice.
No, thank you.
What else will you build?
Wealthy people love decorations and toys for their children.
My family isn't wealthy.
Many times that's better.
I don't know about that.
You will.
My mom made me this.
What's her name?
Sarah.
Very pretty.
Okay, time to go home. Bye.
I love that scene because it really just shows the humanity side of who Jesus was. You know, he was fully God, but he was also fully man. And there are times where in my walk where I've struggled with the idea of approaching Jesus because I felt guilty about something. We were just talking about a few minutes ago about we're singing holy, but yet we feel like we're unworthy. And now I'm not saying Jesus made those noises, okay? I'm not saying he made those kind of noises or those things, but it is something about that drawed children to Jesus. In Mark chapter 10, we're gonna read, it says in verse 13, people were bringing their little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, and he placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. I love this imagery of Jesus blessing the children, and especially the fact about him being upset when the disciples were trying to keep the children away, as if they're saying, you're not important enough for his time. And you know, in their culture, obviously, children weren't kind of viewed as held at a high seat at the table. But for Jesus, they mattered to him. He even said, if you don't have the heart like a child, you won't enter into the kingdom of God. Now, we see this picture of him blessing the children and laying on of hands. This is where we get our modern version of what we call child dedication. So I'd encourage you, if you got a baby that needs to get dedicated, I believe you can register on the app. October 23rd, I believe it's coming up. But this is a modern time or modern way that we represent this moment where people would bring their children to the local rabbi and they would bless them. And Jesus is having this moment where he's blessing the children, and I love how they were drawn to him. You know, are you in a way in your relationship with Jesus in a way to where you're willing to come and just sit at his feet? You know, sometimes we work ourselves up as adults and we try to think we have to do all these different things and check all these boxes in order to get our Father's attention. And he's just simply saying, come and sit at my feet and spend time with me. The imagery of even Jesus showing the humanity side, there's even a scene where he's singing along with the kids as they're building things. And it's just a great scene where you can hear Jesus singing. And I would think he probably engaged with kids this way. He probably, again, he wasn't beyond being around children as if the children belong at the kiddie table. And there's another great scene where Jesus is sitting around kind of a campfire and he's telling them a story. And there's even a part where he jumps up and he scares them. And I just love the imagery and the artistic interpretation that we see from this episode of Jesus' humanity of wanting to connect with even kids. See, the problem with us having a childlike faith is we tend to grow up. We tend to grow up and have certain barriers and mental blocks that we put on ourselves when it comes to our faith. And so I love that you can see this taking place with Jesus, because I think that oftentimes that's what he wants to do with you, is just spend time with you. Even yesterday, Hannah went off to Target to go shopping, and as soon as the door closed, Zane looks at me and goes, "Dad, you want to wrestle?" And I'm like, "Let's get it on," right? Sometimes Jesus just wants to spend time with you. You don't have to necessarily work yourself up and have the perfect music playing in the background and have your big Bible out. And sometimes he just wants to fellowship with us and just create those sweet moments and those precious moments that we get to have with him. Now, when I say childlike faith, I'm not talking about childish behavior, okay? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. What Jesus is talking about here with his disciples, even in Matthew 18, when they ask him, "Who's going to be the greatest among you?" And he flips it on them. And he says, "One that has faith like a child shall enter into the kingdom of God." He set this idea that you have to be an adult to fully understand the things of God. He said you got to have a childlike. And what is he talking about? It's coming with the humility, coming with the purity of just coming before your heavenly Father. You see, even the Apostle Paul talks about it, and I believe it was 1 Corinthians 13. He said, "When I was a child, I acted like a child. I thought like a child, right? But now that I'm a man, I put childish things away." He's talking about behavior. Jesus is talking about our heart, our approach to our heavenly Father. Now, in this next clip that we're about to see, I love this conversation that he's taking place, because you would think this type of conversation is a little too much for kids to be talking about. Let's watch this together.
"I tried to walk away, but he wouldn't stop pushing me. So I pushed him so hard, he fell down."
"And that's why you were punished. Did you expect something different?"
"But even Torah says eye for eye. Why should I be punished too?"
"Yes, but that is for a judge. You are hardly in a court of law. And you, all of you, are to be special. You are to act differently than others."
"You tell us to be gentle. But Rabbi Josiah said Messiah would lead us against the Romans, that he would be a great military leader."
"It is important to respect your teachers and honor your parents. And Rabbi Josiah is a smart man. But many times, smart men lack wisdom. Is there anything in Scripture that says Messiah will be a great military leader?" "There are many things about Scripture that you cannot understand yet, and that is okay, that is fine. You have many years ahead of you, and God does not reveal all things at once. But children, what if many of the things that our people think about how we are to behave and how we are to treat one another are wrong? You want things to be fair. When someone wrongs you, you want to right it. And you know who else loves justice? But what does the Lord say in the law of Moses about justice and vengeance?"
"Vengeance is mine."
"Yes, very good. Very good. Boys, pay attention. She doesn't even go to Torah class, huh? The Lord loves justice. But maybe it is not ours to handle. Do you remember when David had the chance to kill King Saul, who was evil to him? Didn't. Saul was God's anointed. And it was not the right time for justice. And God says he will have compassion on his people when..." What? Let's see if someone who studies this at school is learning, huh?
"When their strength is gone?"
"Yes, very good. So, maybe we let God provide the justice. Maybe we handle these things in a different way. Not trying to be the strongest all the time."
"Even Messiah?"
"He will have to see. But do not expect Messiah to arrive in Jerusalem on a tall horse carrying weapons. And he will be most pleased with those of you who are the peacemakers."
Blessed are the peacemakers. What a conversation to have with children. It's kind of like a little a middle school small group, him sitting there talking with them about justice and vengeance. And most of the time, it's like you would think, let's talk about the toys. But see, here's the reality. Kids have the spiritual capacity to understand spiritual things. The idea that we minimize children and their faith, they're not the church of tomorrow, they're the church of today. And the idea that we can't have these types of conversations with kids, and I get it. They may struggle a little bit to understand what atonement is and sanctification and all these big words that we use, and I get it. But the simplicity of loving their Heavenly Father, they get it. And I love this conversation of him talking about vengeance and justice. And I'll be honest with you, when it comes to justice and vengeance, I've been hurt more by church people than I have worldly people. Sometimes the things that happen within the house, I mean, there are some things that have been said to my wife that would dare not even repeat. And I wouldn't even talk about it because it might even bring tears to some of your eyes. But she's strong. She can handle it. I want to give you an example where I was staying at a Dairy Queen, just standing in line, minding my business, right? Trying to order my ice cream. This older gentleman comes next to me, and this was a few years ago. He's, hey, I heard your sermon on Sunday. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. Glad you're at church, and hope you enjoyed it. I thought to myself, he interrupts me, just thought to myself while you were preaching, man, I hope this guy's got a plan B. You know, out of a 10, I'd probably give you a 5, but good job on Sunday. And I'm like, well, I guess I'll have some extra cookie dough in my ice cream today, you know? And then years ago when I was a youth pastor, I got a call from a dad one day. We were in a relationship series and we were teaching on relationships and different things. And I taught out of the Bible, out of the story of David and Bathsheba. And I was talking about the idea of how you gotta be careful what we're looking at because we'll be drawn towards it. And we don't wanna fall into that sin. And so this dad calls me. I pick up the phone and I recognize who he was. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, I'll just pick it up. Hello. And he's just letting me have it. He is screaming at me. How dare you? How dare you use that Bible story in teaching my daughter? She's in high school, mind you. She goes to public school. She's in 9th grade. I already know who the kid is. She's pretty influential in her area. He's just letting me have it. How dare you? I can't believe you would use that story. And then he ends the conversation after about 10 minutes of him screaming at me. Ends the conversation by saying, you took my daughter's innocence. Okay? Things that are said to us sometimes can hurt. Thinking of COVID, right? When all that was taking place or still is, whatever, however you want to view your viewpoint is on it. But I remember as a church leader when that was happening, I thought to myself, this is it. This is going to be our moment as the church. We can rise up, unify, come together, be able to reach the needs of our world. This can be our greatest moment. After about a few weeks in, I realized the division was taking place even within the house. And the rhetoric that was going back and forth, things that were being said to each other in person and on social media. A time when you would have thought we need to come together brought so much pain. You see, as a church, we have to be influential without being hostile. We got to have influence, and we got to do it in a non-hostile way. It needs to come from a place of love and truth and grace. But yet, we oftentimes, like we tend to do with our faith, is we think because we're a Christian, we're better than, or we speak down to. And Jesus did the opposite when it came to children. He bent down and spoke with them, and he blessed them. He wasn't above them. Amen. He engaged with them. And so, again, in this next scene, we're going to see Jesus continuing this conversation with the kids and answering questions. As little kids, always asking a lot of questions, right? It's like on the way to church, you get 3 questions. That's it, right? But they're answering. They're asking him some questions, and he continues to answer their questions. Let's watch this together.
You remember when I said that I have a job that is bigger than my trade? There is a woman who has had much pain in her life, and she was in trouble, so I helped her.
Is she your friend?
She is now, and I have chosen her and others, and more soon to join me in traveling.
Do they know you?
Not yet.
But what if they don't like you?
Many won't. This is my reason for being here.
I still don't understand. What is your reason for being here?
I'm telling you this because even though you are children, and the elders in your life have lived longer, many times adults need the faith of children. And if you hold on to this faith really tightly, someday soon, you will understand all of what I'm saying to you. But you ask an important question, Abigail. What is my reason for being here? And the answer is for all of you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Isaiah,
I have loved spending this time with you. You are all so very special. And I hope that my next students ask the same questions you do, and that they listen to my answers. But I suspect they do not have the understanding you do. And I hope that when the time comes, they will tell others about me, like you have.
What a powerful moment with them asking questions and Jesus responding and obviously quoting from Isaiah. You see, sometimes we tend to overcomplicate things when it comes to our faith. And I get it, understanding and studying theology and those types of things, we should do those things. But we can't get caught up where we worship theology instead of our Father. Because the church does that. We tend to have a more righteous attitude towards other people because we understand more. In order to enter the kingdom of God, we must be like a child, he said. I love this conversation because it really speaks to kind of three things I want us to kind of land with today. And that is the idea of just one, having simple faith. If we can get to a place where we have simple faith. Now, I'm not trying to say that it's just a simple thing and it's just kind of like this small thing, but the idea of the simplicity of being with our Heavenly Father, recognizing the grace that he has given us, coming humbly to his feet, sitting and just enjoying his presence, the simple faith like a child would. And then there's the spiritual curiosity, which you see throughout this episode, them asking a lot of questions. Jesus isn't scared of your questions. He's not intimidated by your lack of understanding, or he's not intimidated by your knowledge either. But spiritual curiosity of the continual pursuit of wanting to know more of him, to spending more time with him, having this curiosity to draw us towards him. And then the last one would be the childlike trust. You see, often for us as adults, trust is a transactional thing. If you do this, then I'll trust you. Childlike trust, my son, he trusts me not because of some transaction we've done together. He trusts me because I'm his father. You see, we can trust our Heavenly Father just because of who he is. Has he paid a debt for us? Of course he has. But having a childlike trust when it comes to your Heavenly Father. So what it is to have that simple faith and that spiritual curiosity and the childlike trust, almost like the trust where the kid's standing on the edge of the pool and he's about to jump, right? What does the dad say in the pool? Come on, I got you, buddy, you can do it. And there's still this little back and forth. And yeah, I got you, come on, jump. Just that pure, genuine trust when you leap into your Father's arms, You can be embraced by him knowing, no matter what, how this ends, I'm gonna end up in his hands. Simple faith, a spiritual curiosity, and then a childlike trust. If we can keep those things, and blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. If we were as passionate about our faith as we are our politics, how our world would look so different. Our world is so divisive. We as a church should bring peace when we come into conversations, bring peace into the atmosphere. Why? Because we are representing Jesus everywhere we go. I love this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, it says this. This is Paul talking about Timothy, and he says, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I consistently remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. This, I love this verse here in verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is through you in the laying on of hands. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or for me as his God or as his prisoner. Rather, join with me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us, called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. I love verse 5, where it talks about, I saw this faith in your grandma, then I saw this faith in your mother, and now I see it in you. You see, church, we have to remember the next generation is watching us. They watched us handle what we handled when it comes to the pandemic stuff. They watched that happen. They watched it play out on television. They watched it play out in homes. They're watching us. Generation Z right now is starting to get into the workforce. They're gonna begin to influence culture. You see, we can teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. There's no hiding it. We reproduce who we are. But I love this, where Paul says, I see the faith in your grandmother, and I saw it in your mother, and now it's in you. I think of my meemaw. Yep, that's my grandma, my meemaw is what I call her. She's lives in Alabama. I'm a Cuban Bamian. My dad's from Alabama, and my mom's Cuban, so I'm a Cuban Bamian. And when you think of my meemaw, when you think of a Southern woman that loves her some Jesus, loves going to church, reads her Bible, prays, that's my meemaw. She loves Jesus. I remember one day I was on the phone with her and I'm having a conversation and probably complaining about something and just sharing things with her. And just all of a sudden she said a line that I'll never forget. She goes, baby, the devil's on the run and Jesus is coming back. Amen? And I'm just like, you're right, Meemaw. You see that sometimes we just gotta have that simple faith. Have that curiosity to lean in to our Heavenly Father. And then just have that childlike trust that we just throw ourselves into this thing. And maybe there's someone here this morning where you showed up to church and you didn't feel like you were worthy enough to even walk in the room. Just want you to know, Jesus knows you by name. I've said this for years. The enemy will call us by our sin, but Jesus will call us by our name. He wants to call you by name. He wants you to embrace him, to be drawn to him, so he can bless you. And so I'm just gonna ask, if we can just take a moment, if everyone just bow your head and close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you've never really taken that first step of following Jesus, I'm just gonna ask you, will you do it today? Will you embrace Jesus today and take that step of faith? And just, let's just start with the simple faith. Allow your curiosity to run, but it's okay. You can lean into that childlike trust. But if that's you today, I'm just gonna simply ask, would you raise your hand right now? Is there anybody in the room? You wanna take that step? Amen. Amen. Let's all pray this together. Dear Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. Thank you for dying on the cross and rising again on the third day. Amen. It's a powerful thing to have that moment with Jesus. But that's the thing about him, is he's not just trying to create a little moment in our life. He wants to create a lifestyle where he walks with you day in and day out. We come to church, right? We don't want to have this distant faith. We don't want to have a Sunday routine faith. I don't want to have a faith to where it's like just a casual thing that I do. I want to have a type of faith that inspires my son, inspires those around me to say, you know what? I want to follow Jesus. I don't understand it all, but I'm gonna simply start taking steps towards him. I don't necessarily trust this whole organizational church thing, but I'm gonna trust him. I know I've been hurt by maybe some church folk here and there, but my faith is gonna be a personal faith, the childlike faith where I lean in and embrace him and put all those other things aside and follow him. Amen? Will you stand to your feet this morning? The devil's on the run, and Jesus is coming back. Amen? Father, I pray you bless them as they go. Lord, help us to have simple childlike faith to come into you this week. Allow us to come to you with our curiosity. Allow us to fall into you with everything that we are as we trust you, as we navigate this world that you have called us to reach, not to run from or to be afraid of, but to go after. Bless us as we go in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming, guys.